gonna be.
Tanše.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Sangi Las, good day and welcome to episode 3 of Words and Culture. I am your host, Christy Lane Sinclair, Haida Cree, musician and storyteller. If you have been listening to previous episodes, you'll know by this time in my journey home, I am having so much fun in Haida Gwaii. Rocking up to people's houses and really talking. Like, really talking. And really snacking. And drinking coffee. And I love coffee. Today, I am visiting with Gwaganad, or her English name, Diane Brown. As is customary when visiting around Haida Gwaii, bring snacks. I have danishes in one hand and fresh baked bread in the other. Gwaganad spoils me by bringing out her precious coffee beans roasted on island. Her husband prepares us the perfect and, may I say, the strongest cuppa. To set the scene, Gwaganad has the best garden I've ever seen in Haida Gwaii, keeping all of her flowers blooming until at least mid-October. And today, the grandkids and friends are out in full force, popping by as it is also a potlatch weekend. See episode 1 and 2. They come in, they stop and sit and hear the stories and teachings. It was awesome. By the end, we have a full house hanging on her every word. Gwaganad is a Haida matriarch and is a true testament to the Haida lived experience. She is one of the last that grew up speaking Haida fluently in her home. Yagadung is Haida law, which translates to respect for all things. The land, the water, the air, our supernatural relatives and ancestors, everything. She says it was her first lesson learned and lives closely with the land. When I say that she is a wealth of information, I mean it. Gwaganad co-founded the Skitigat Haida Language Immersion Program, or SHIP, and created the Skitigat Language Nest, teaching mothers, caregivers, and babies Haudkil, or the Haida language. Oh yeah, and major badass activist. This kind of makes me want to bawl, but there's kind of no time. I came to know Gwaganad on the set of the movie Edge of the Knife, as well as through various documentaries, where I had the pleasure of interviewing her. Edge of the Knife was the first feature-length movie told entirely in Haudkil. Gwaganad was there for the entire process, and also is in the film. Check it out if you haven't. There are many things that have stuck in my head about Haudkil, like the different words for love and waves. There are so many words for different kinds of waves. And as you will hear later, rain. But enough from me, let me introduce you to Gwaganad.
You know, it was my first language. My mom never spoke English. And she was like 48 when she adopted me from my birth mother. I was 3 months when they took me. So I never heard anything but Haida. And then she died when I was 9. I worked with my daughter-in-law, my son Judd's wife, Severin, for 2 years, 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon when her kids came home from school. I've lived here my whole life. When I was a kid, my dad and I had a house here. And when my mom died, I had to move to that end where Dave's in the village is. They had a big two-story there. And I had to think and hear my grandfather and their oldest son who died in the fire. It was a real novelty, I think, for them to have a kid tell stories. So they would keep me after dinner and make me tell my day or a story I knew then. I was in grade 9, I think, or 8 when I first took French. I hate French. I to this day, I am still the youngest speaker and I'm 76. I'm the youngest fluent. On top of that, I don't want to sound like I'm blowing my horn. It's just a fact. I think I'm the only person in the whole nation that could tell legends in Haida. And I know quite a few ravens and the whole creation story. And when you get into that level of stories, you all often will get a brand new word, new words all the time. Like in that story, the loon flies up to grandfather to ask for land. And he comes across a cloud, so he opens the cloud with his beak and sees the house and goes in, takes off his loon suit and jumps into his human suit, and then he goes in to the house. And he sees right there, as soon as he got in, a fire burning. He noticed that the logs were crystal logs. Therefore, the fire never, ever goes out. It'll go forever, as long as there's Haidas, I guess. But it burns for all of us. And then he walks over and he sees the old man, tells him what he came for. And the creator sends him behind a partition to get a box and brings the box to him, and he opens five boxes, and the last box held a black rock, just black, longish, a black rock with crystals running through it. They call crystals amthraqada, that's white rock. He told them to blow on the big one hard as he can and throw it far as he can, and the not-so-big one, blow a little and throw it not so far. All the time he was talking, too, he was rubbing, the creator was rubbing his side here, talking to him. Then he suddenly pulls out a baby. And supernaturals grow really quick. So he puts the baby's feet on the dirt floor and pulls them up and up and up and up. Creator says, I'm going to make you taller than any Haida person now. So he pulls him up and up, and when he's done with him, he turns him around and around and says, Dangdigut Lakotstilga, I really like what I made here. Really, really like it. That's the last this baby's mentioned for a while, and the story goes on and on. And to speed it up, I guess, because it takes about an hour and a half in Haida and less than an hour in English. Anyway, the creator tells him how to fly down and take these rocks. And so the loon says, well, I'm going to fly down with these now and do what you told me. And he said, oh, fly. He said, come to Kwanihana, hit us. Don't just fly down any old way. Against Tluski Stalda. And that's the first time I heard that word. Tluski Stalda. I think it's so pretty. Tluski Stalda means spiral down. And also that's probably how they went from one realm to another. So just before he goes, he says, oh, you know, the baby that I pulled out from my side, that's the raven, that's Nunkilslus is his name. So this was the birth of the raven. And that's the proof anyway that it's in the legend. I got the legend from James Young, who got it from Henry Young. And James also paid me the tape that Henry Young talked into. And as far as I know, Gitgidlayas is his name. Prince of Peace is Henry's name. He is the last trained storyteller that there was in Skidigan. And then he tried to train his son, who I learned many stories from, James Young, Nankingai Ewans. And people, I'm reading on Facebook and whatnot, there's people that believe the Creator and the raven are the same. No, they're not. The Creator made him, but the raven's his own being. And before the loon came back here with the Haida Gwaii, and the big one was North America, he said, "This is Nunkilsla. This is the raven. Nunkilsla is his name, and his name means the one whose voice is obeyed. Nunkilsla. Nung is the one, and Kilsla is kill is voice. One whose voice is obeyed." Then the loon got in back into his loon suit and came down and did the big rock, and that became North America, and then did the little rock, and that became Haida Gwaii.
There's a quote that comes to mind from legendary Alaskan Haida elder Iskilius Dolores Churchill. "If we lose the Haida language, we will no longer be Haida. We'll be like everyone else. The Haida language is the only thing that distinguishes us." Haida is considered a linguistic isolate with no proven genetic relationship to any language family. Northern Haida is split into two, into Alaskan or Kagani and Masit or Au. The southern dialect is Thagilda or Skitigit. During COVID, I came back home to record songs from our singers. This was to be distributed around the village. The goal was to create community, preserve our culture, and to create a resource for learning. What I learned is that a lot of these recordings didn't exist, at least at that level, and some singers had never even heard their voice on a recording before. I aimed to remedy this. As a sound engineer, I felt that it was definitely something I should do, and here I am. I have officially built a tiny home studio in Masset, so people can rock up on my doorstep and record Hot Kill, or whatever creation they have in them. I'm super duper excited for this. Here is Yetlatal Yanyu Dikyang, or True Voice, or Christian White, singing you off from those sessions, which translates to Raven in English.
Advertised for an immersion, 10-day summer immersion. And 40 people signed up, and everybody wanted to learn. And so we had 17 or more fluent speakers, of which 6 were hereditary chiefs. It was so easy to get things done with them old guys in there. All fluent, all well-versed in everything, in the ocean and the sky, and everything. We just did it. We started at the right time. If we can't do that now. We could never get what we got 25 years ago or more. They couldn't agree on what dialect. We started that 10-day immersion, and we had 5 days to develop a curriculum. So we called all the fluents together, and we spent like 2.5 days arguing about, you don't say it like that. I say, well, it's a different dialect. But it's true, we have roughly 14 different clans. Some are there barely people. Some whole clans have died. But Dull's dialect and my dialect are very different. I learned from his mom, he doesn't speak. And I was brought up with the Skidans dialect. My birth mother is Kayathlanis, West Coast. Like the Atlantis people, they left us way back when. And they left us first, and they went across the bay from Joth. They went to Nisi, and they came back home because the wind just about like dead tree blows right in there, and they just couldn't handle it, so they came back home. My dad thinks it was over gambling. They came home for a while, and they got in another dispute. Again, he thinks about gambling. So they took off. This time they went north. And the first, I spoke to Amanda Edgars about this, and I'd like to put that on record. Amanda Edgars, my dad, always told me that's my sister, the Indian way. Rosalind Russ is his sister, the Indian way. Why in the bejesus I didn't say, what's the Indian way, Dad? I don't know. To this day, I don't know. It could mean that their fathers were brothers. That's the I don't know for sure, but it seems that's the only thing that was real common with them. Anyway, when we'd go up and talk to Amanda a lot, she said they landed what is Atlantis now. It's quite up north. They paddled quite a way. And she told me when they landed, they saw a two-headed eagle in the tree. She said, now that eagle might have just did this, but they saw a two-headed eagle, so that's what we use. I heard a Jotlanis member saying the two-headed eagle comes from a suicide, and that's so wrong. I'd hate for that to be their legacy. It isn't. But it's like I just can't go marching up there and blah, 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 butt in. I went up and told the creation story. Candace was so taken with it. She came to our school for 2 years, so she kind of does the skitty-gitty. Like, we just get thrilled when we hear her.
Okay.
And I told the creation story here years ago, and then Candace liked it so much she invited me to their longhouse to retell it, and I did. And I remember when I was done, just leaped off the table, sitting on a table in the back, and he said, bullshit, this is nothing but bullshit.
What?
I finally went back 2 weeks ago. They wanted a story, so I didn't know that's what they wanted, but I thought they were going to talk about how to do that. What do you do to tell something as sacred as a creation story? A, you say where you got it from. But I did these anyway, even if they didn't want them. I said, you say who told you. Because some people nowadays want to, I don't know, sound like they got it in their head, and that's why they're telling it, but it's impossible. You get it from somewhere.
Hod Kill is connected to story. The stories are gifts from the supernaturals and ancestors, and Gwagonad is one of those true storytellers. Gwagonad shares the story about her parents and how her dad saved her mom's life. I wondered how this story was connected to the language, but it became clear. But you really have to listen to the setup before you reach the payoff. It's worth it.
So one time we're coming, he loved to ride on the car, and he lost his language at Res. He was gone for 12 years. Didn't even come home for summer. His second year, his dad died, and he couldn't even come to the funeral because they had no money. So he's just stuck. Every summer, he got trained and trained every year, every summer to be a lifeguard, and there's a reason for that. Had he not done that, my mother would have drowned him. They always go to North Island in the spring, everybody from here with a boat. There was 50 trollers out here one time till the government changed the licensing system, and they made it so none of our people could attain it. So you don't see one out there anymore. They just, if they saw us succeeding somewhere, they just quashed it. It was real quiet in the village for months because all the men were gone. But anyway, they were on their way up, and there's a rock between North Island and the West Coast, not too far from the Narrows, but it's called Spinwai, that's Seagull Island, and that's the island they went to gather seagull eggs. It was perfect timing that time of the year. The eggs would be plentiful, and there's still a lot of time for them to do it again. So they picked it, and anyway, she got on the boat, but she couldn't swim. And they got so far, and a wave tipped them. And she can't swim. He had hip waders on, like this long gumboots. And he said he looked under, and he saw her being towed away underwater because she can't swim. So he said he pulled off his boots, which is hard to do. And every summer that he trained, they got him to pack a bigger and a bigger rock from the bottom of the lake, I think, down there, Chilliwack he went to, and bring it to the surface. So he got everything off, and he could see where my mom was, and he swam for her, and he got her. If he hadn't had training for 12 years, 12 summers straight, she'd have perished. And I wouldn't have had my mom, I wouldn't have had my language, I wouldn't have had... So I could say anything. I'd say, what do you call this, Dad? What do you call that? And he knew. But you could not get a sentence. He'll give me words till the cows come home. He lost it at Res because you got strapped for speaking it and the length of time. When he got out, he got a fishing job with a Hartley Bay, old Hartley Bay man. And the Hartley Bay man started speaking Haida to him. My dad realized he didn't know what he was saying. He just crushed. First time he heard it for 12 years.
Mm. Is that like what they call like a silent speaker?
Yeah. But in 1985, we made a stand on Lyle Island where... The logging was like ramped. They were doing it 24 hours a day. So he started before 70, but I distinctly remember 1970 he started fighting to stop the logging down there. And a lot of the people, even here, just called him a hippie, which was hurtful. And Huckleberry went with him one time to Vancouver Court. They lost. And this one time, a old hereditary chief, Nathan Young, Eagle Chief of Tanu, went with Googe. Validated him all to hell, and everybody had to pay attention now. This is serious of a hereditary. So Dad and he went to Lyle. And the day we heard that, we had Sven Robinson explain what that big, thick paper was about, how we're breaking the law and we could possibly go to jail for 6 months at the least to 2 years to the most. And we're coming back down. The road was horrible. The hike up, it was a logging road, and it was kind of on a cliff. how my birth mother, Ada, made it up in Essel, how they made it up that hill, all you can say is the Creator must have packed them. Because I would get winded. It was a struggle because it's muddy and it's wet and it's cold. And we struggled back down. And I always was with my dad. And I fully understood what Sven meant. And I didn't want him to spend his last days in jail because he was 80 then. And he had a lot of health issues. So I was pleading with him not to go on the line. But he said, this is what I came for. End of story. The three elders, we all argued till 4 in the morning, I think. Especially the young warriors were just crying. They didn't want... It would look like we were hiding behind our elders. That's what they felt. And the elder said, no, you're not hiding behind us. You make us eat first. You always make us go first. So we're just keeping with the tradition. Anyway, he got arrested and he got fingerprinted and the whole thing. Yeah. So did I. And pretty soon after that experience, he started telling me legends.
And that is how Gwagnad came to be a storyteller of Haida legends. On some level, I feel like all Haidas are storytellers and natural artists, taught from a young age to sing, dance, and express story through art and words. It's been a joy to watch and really love that this is still the chosen way of how to do this. I mean, textbooks are cool, guys, and we have those too, but I don't know. I feel like you really learn it when you learn it from someone else's mouth. As always, Hala for listening, many Hala's Gwagnad, and her family for sharing her precious time.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Hausin Dang King Sam.
Maltus.
Ninuis Ahaha Miku Kwakwal.
Kachu Nautano.
Wapamatin Mina.
Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
Sego.
Buju Anim.
This is Words and Culture,